And this is Growing the Game with Ballsy, brought to you by Wheel Estate. Check them out online at wheelestate.ca, brought to you by Paul Waldo over at Royal LePage, the home expert team, and brought to you by the Pizza Huts in Saskatchewan and the Concord Group there in Saskatoon. I'm joined on the phone by Darren Finkelday, who is a city police officer, but we're not talking any crimes or anything here, except his football team stole another victory in the RMF as the Atom Bears win the championship. So first off, Finkelday, how long have you been coaching for?
Well, you know what? I've been coaching for quite a few years. I know the son, Kai, who coaches with me now, he's 21. I started coaching him when he was 7. So I was actually coaching high school football before that. So I would say I've probably been coaching now for better part of 25 years.
Wow. Darren, how many kids have you had play football?
All 4. I had Tequila's playing football now. He's going to be moving into Campbell next year. Noah's playing Adam. That's who I was coaching on the Bears. Kai wrapped up a good career at the Boldus. And then Takara plays flag football the time. And next year, she'll be old enough to play on the girls' tackle team.
That's outstanding. I coached your one son, Tequila, here a little bit here in the RMF season, a couple of games. So let's talk about the Adam Bears. You guys had a successful season. Just tell us about that year.
Okay, well, you know, we had a really good coaching staff. We had 12 coaches come out because we only had 3 in July. So I sent out many invitations. And like Regina does in general, everybody came out to volunteer the time. So I had 12 coaches. 12 coaches. We had a very young team. I think we only had out of maybe 27 kids, I think 16 were first-year Adam kids. So we're very fortunate that we had some good athletes there, some good coaching, and that we were able to put everything together. And we basically ran the perfect season this year, went undefeated, and our defense only gave up 6 points, and I don't even know how many our offense scored, but they had a very good year as usual as well.
That's outstanding. Of course, now 27 kids and 12 coaches, that's a good coach-to-player ratio, man.
Yeah, it was excellent. You know what? I kind of thought that was a lot, but after people volunteered and stepped up, I wasn't about to say, well, you know what, thanks for offering. We're not interested, but RMF benefits because all of them had to go to RMF, take their safe contact. So now, for years to come, there's 12 coaches floating around that they can step up and start coaching in the RMF or at any level right now.
Darren Finkelday joining us here, coaching the Regina Minor Football League on Growing the Game with Ballsy. So is it tough to be on a coaching staff with 12 guys, like in terms of delegating, in terms of getting on the same page?
It can be, especially during games. As you know, Ballsy, if anything ever goes south, all of a sudden you got 12 offensive coordinators, 12 D coordinators, 12 head coaches. But when things are going smooth, it's pretty darn fun.
Yeah. Now, are you like you had three boys, a girl playing this sport of football? Any concerns about them? You know, with the whole concussion and injuries and things like that.
You know what? I know what. I played for years, and then like you did too, and there wasn't much concern at the time, and I'm glad there is now. But with the safe contact coming out now, and, you know, if one of my kids did get a concussion, I wouldn't be the type to throw them right back in there. They definitely have to go through the protocol, make sure that they've recuperated from it. And I think that any injury, whether it's your knee, whether it's your arm, your eye, whatever it might be, Ballsy, I think you just have to sit back and take a look at it. And how are you going to treat it? Are you going to carry on, even though you've already had this injury? Do you think you've recovered from it well enough to come back? And I think you just have to take a look at the game itself and the way RMF, anyway, is changing things, at taking the head out of the game. And I think it's only going to get safer as the years go on here. But it's a very fun game. I know my kids love it. And I have to have a hard time saying, no, you can't play because you might get an injury in this game.
Yeah, I'm with you, pal. Darren Finkelday joining us here, who is with the Adam Bears. And you guys actually were rewarded for your time, I guess, for, you know, coaching staff of the year. What does it mean for you to be coaching staff of the year? I think it's the second time you've won that award, isn't it?
Yeah, I won that award in 2008, and I had my good old sidekick, Darren Kusky, coaching with me that year as well. And 10 years later, we're still coaching together because all our kids are the same ages, so we've moved through them all.
Yeah.
So the funny thing is, it's a good award to get because obviously it's voted on by your peers, and anybody could have won that. Everybody did a really good time coaching this year. We have set amount of practice times. Every coach put in as much time as we did. Every coach worked as hard as we did. So it was nice to be singled out for one reason or another this year. as a staff.
That's outstanding. And it's cool. You mentioned you coached your son, Kai, and now he's coaching with you. By the way, he's sporting a sweet stash for Movember. I like that. But what's it like coaching him and then have him coach with you? Because I hope one day to be coaching with my kid when he gets to be that age.
That's right. Well, I think you might be waiting a while, Balzi. Your kid will be playing for a while, so you might you might be old by the time he comes back to coach with you.
maybe. But what's that like?
You can't beat it, really, because, you know, it used to be when I coached Kai, it was like a coach-player thing. And then, you know, it took him a while to get out of that because it still seemed like I was, you know, more or less telling him how to do things and such, where I was more talking along the lines of a peer conversation. So he got used to that after a while, and then he was our D coordinator. And you know what? He'd get his game plan together. He'd teach it to his players, and away he'd go. And in the heat of the battle during a game, I kind of forgot he was my son. But in the end, you kind of sit back and look back and you say, wow, I just coached another year. This is my third year coaching with Kai. And it's like, wow, this is our third year together. And it's getting better every year. Yeah. I see him now as a coach. Rather, and I kind of forget that I ever coached him as a player at one time.
you can't beat coaching your son and having an undefeated season. So it's getting better every year. But I mean, but how do you top an undefeated season? Hey, I gotta ask you as a police officer, you know, just kind of try to tie the two in, because we always talk about kids being active, and the more active they are, the less they're prone to get into problems. What do you like about football? And what do you like about kids being in activities to keep them away from getting into trouble?
Yeah, you know what? I think the kids that are in activities, and I hate to single out football, obviously that's the game I think kids gain the most from, but any activity, you're going to learn commitment, you're going to learn respect. And when you learn respect for your coaches, for your teammates, for your opponents, when you're on the street, you're going to respect other people's property, you're going to respect other people's bodies, et cetera. And it's just an attitude you carry everywhere with you. The work ethic as well. You play sports, you play football, you're going to have work ethic. What do you do with that work ethic? Well, you go get a job instead of hanging around on the streets, wasting your time trying to find trouble, et cetera. I think that it's important for the kids to get involved in activities. And not only that, it really does tie up their time with positive reinforcement. And these coaches we have, like in RMF, are great role models. They're not like the role model Grant McCurdy was talking about yesterday. He said that had a little bit of a different coach in his day, but nowadays, great role models. And those are the kind of people you want your kids around, and they start to inherit those behaviors, and then they're going to take it. And then my one son, Tequio, he was on your team this year with the Eagles. He loved it. And all of a sudden, he's riding his bike in a snowstorm to practice. Mm-hmm. You know, he was committed to being to practice on time. He never wanted to be late. He's punctual, and that's carried right over into his school.
You know, I like guys like our head coach here at the Eagles this year, Matt Rumpel. Didn't have a kid playing. He was just a volunteer coach coming out. He does some work with the Thunder. It's those kind of guys that really are the backbone of our community.
Oh, without a doubt. We had a few. Like, we had Pete Flamin, Mike, and Kim Seifert, Dwight Vanstone. We had a few guys like that, too, that didn't have a kid on there. I invited them. Didn't think they'd come out, but they did, and you're right. We need people like that, or otherwise there's not going to be enough coaches to go around for all the kids that want to play sports.
Hey, lastly, Darren Finkelday, how has it changed for you in terms of coaching? Like, have you changed your lingo? Have you changed your mentality? You know, because of the whole, 10 years ago, you maybe coached different because we just coached football different because the mentality of it was different, concussions and all that stuff. I think even the way you talk to kids, you have to kind of change that lingo a bit. Has your coaching style changed at all?
Oh, yeah. Maybe that's because I'm getting older. I'm getting more mellow.
maybe. But all your Nashville holidays and stuff, eh?
That's right. I don't have enough energy for the coaching to get too hyped up. But maybe it's just from experience too, Ballsy, right? You've seen situations where you don't get so emotional. You're not so animated anymore. You're just kind of sitting back. Okay, I've been here before. Level-headedness. This is what we're going to do. And as far as the injuries go, we're learning how to tackle. I know that my teams, we always learn the hawk tackle. That's the way we tackle.
Right.
But we let the taller guys do eyes to the sky too, right?
Yeah.
There's the other method. So we don't put the head in tackling at all. And our tackling in practice is pretty minimal, the full contact part of it. So we'll do it maybe 13 minutes a day is what we look at. And that's about it. But yeah, we're definitely not the old days where you do a full-out scrimmage for an hour at the end of every practice.
Yeah, you wonder how you and I made it this far. Actually, I don't know, maybe we didn't make it this far. We just think we did now with all our concussions. Anyway, Darren, thanks for this, and thanks for all the work you do, not only as a police officer, but in our community. Okay, my friend?
Okay, thanks for having me, Ballsy.
And this is Growing the Game with Ballsy, brought to you by the Pizza Huts in Saskatchewan, and more specifically, the Concord Group. Thanks to David Dubé for getting on board. Also, Paul Waldo at Royal LePage, the home expert team, and Wheel Estate. If you have a travel trailer you want to rent or rent one out next to camping season, check them out at wheelestate.ca. Just before we get to our next guest, I want to give a couple of shout-outs here. I want to give congratulations to the Miller Marauders, the 4A Provincial High School Football Champs. They beat Saskatoon Centennial last weekend, and a shout-out to Bishop Mahoney. They knocked off the Sheldon Williams Spartans in the 3A Provincial High School Football Championship in Regina on November the 10th. So congratulations to those teams. All right, we're talking with Tyler Chow now, the running back for the U of S Huskies, a Calgary boy who had 241 yards rushing. Huskies knock off the Dinos 43-18. Tyler Chow, thanks for joining us. Was that the best game of your life?
Thanks for having me. You know what? It was a good game, but I think I got a couple games left in me.
Well, absolutely. But to hey, I love how you answered that. That's good. But to this point, was that the best game in your life?
Oh, for sure. Hands down. I mean, it wasn't even just me. It was the whole team collectively. We just absolutely dominated on every aspect of the game.
You know, looking back on it, Tyler, I always ask guys to reflect. So going into that game, just yourself personally, did you feel any different? Did you do anything any different that week? Was it a different feeling when you got up in the morning? That could have been your last ever game in the university sports level playing in your hometown of Calgary. Did it feel different?
You know what? I think it did. I think that whole week of practice, I think the guys just carried themselves a bit differently. I don't think we had a lot of pressure on ourselves. I think we went out every day and we just had fun with it. I can't say that it was just a different energy around the practice facility all weekend.
You know,
I guess, yeah.
What do you think? Now the weather's warmed up. It was a bit colder last week. What, you know, do you look at it as a badge of honor to be practicing at this time of year?
Oh, for sure, it's a privilege, and I think everyone kind of takes pride in that fact right now.
You know, going back to the game last week, 241 yards rushing. What went right for you besides your teammates? What went right for you to, you know, you talk to guys when they have big games like that. Was everything kind of in slow motion for you? Just take me through your afternoon.
Yeah, you know, I just see holes, just hit them as hard as I can. I mean, they're bringing sting coverage most of the second half, and I think our O-line was just handling it so well that I was just able to do my thing and just get running with it.
How gratifying is it for you, because it's been, you know, your whole career there with the U of S Huskies? Guys hadn't won a playoff game officially since 2009. I know you guys, the program had one gifted to them in 2011 because an ineligible player on another team, but an actual playoff win 2009. You go to UBC and win a big ball game there, and then you go to Calgary and win. What's it like? What's it mean to you to be a guy on his way out, but finally getting your wins here this year?
It was huge. I mean, guys have been talking about getting a playoff win for a long time since I've been here. But to even get a playoff win in Calgary to kind of end my Canwest season was something special for me. I mean, coming out to Saskatoon, I was getting a lot of flack for not staying in Calgary and playing with the Dinos. And I think finally getting that win and getting a Hardy Cup against the Dinos was very gratifying.
Did you have a chance to, I know there's lots of pomp and pageantry and everybody's celebrating. Did you have a chance to just step back and reflect while you were there at McMahon Stadium? I mean, you grew up in Calgary to just play a game like that there.
Yeah, I had a little bit of time to reflect, but I mean, it was a very short-lived celebration. I think we're on to the next one. There's definitely bigger fish to fry, so. Yeah, definitely a very short-lived celebration, though.
We'll get into that in a second. Who was there to watch you for family and friends? Did you have a pretty big contingent?
Oh, yeah, I had a whole section to myself of just wearing chow jerseys. It was actually kind of funny.
Hey, at what point in the game did you think you finally had Calgary where you wanted them? Because, you know, with a team like Calgary, you can never take your foot off the gas. Was it until maybe the final whistle that you finally said, hey, we got these guys?
I think for me, it was when I ripped off 38-yard run with about a minute left. I was just so gassed at that point. I just got up and was just smiling. I mean, at that point, I think it finally hit me that, holy crap, we actually won this game. You know, we were up by 18 probably for a lot of the third quarter, and it just hadn't really – because we knew how the Calgary's big strike ability that we weren't finished and we needed to keep going, that, you know, no lead was comfortable with the Dinos.
you're a tough running back. Really like watching you play. How much has a guy like Adam Mackert and even Shaq Harris thrown in there, the platooning of the running backs, how much has that helped you this year, you know, carry the load?
Oh, it's been huge. I mean, Adam's great in his own right. Like, that kid's going to be able to carry on the franchise of this team. But it's been great. I mean, it's kept me healthy all year, and coming off a knee injury, I think it really helped the coaches know that having a back like Adam in our roster was enough confidence for them to play him all season.
How much has your coaching staff been different this year than last year? And what I mean by that is Scott Flory and his group came in late last year, and it takes a while to get used to the coaching staff. How much better has the team been this year under that coaching staff now that they've had a full year to kind of spread their message, as it were?
I think as a whole, the team has just really bought into what they're trying to achieve. You know, the coaching staff set a goal for us, and we've all kind of bought into that message. It's, you know, no me, it's all we type idea here. I mean, if you're not going to fit in, get out kind of deal. Yeah. So I think as a team, as our success has come down to just buying into this message.
Yeah, I really think that is a key for you guys. You're resilient, and you also got great chemistry. Would you agree with that? Because I look at this team, and it seems from everybody I talk to, and I know some guys on the team, Mason, Nias, and such, they say it's the best room they've ever been in. Do you feel that way?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, our locker room chemistry is unbelievable. I mean, we have guys, and don't get me wrong, I mean, it's our locker room is something special. You know, you could probably say that about a few locker rooms, but I think we have really something special this year.
Okay, so you guys were picked in the coaches poll to be right near the bottom. Is that talked about in the locker room going into the season? Did you use it kind of to fuel your fire, or is that something we, the media, talk about? You guys don't pay attention to that.
You know what? I don't think Scott mentioned it once all year, but I think, you know, being posted on social media, it spreads pretty quick, and around the locker room, it spread really fast too. But, you know, I think it kind of just became our own fuel for each of the players. I mean, if you want to tell us the underdogs, well, keep telling us we're the underdogs, I guess.
Okay, so everybody expected you, well, except for you guys. A lot of people expected Calgary to roll over you and then go play in the Mitchell Bowl against Western. But it's you going up against Western, and everybody said if it was tough to knock off Calgary, it's even tougher to knock off Western. This is a true David versus Goliath matchup. How do you feel about it?
You know, I think it's going to be a great game. I think we match up very well with Western. I don't think it's going to be a blowout by any means. I think it's going to be a dogfight on the lines. The winner of this game is going to come down to the line of scrimmage.
How much do you think Tyler Chow, joining me here on Growing the Game with Ballsy, how much do you think the fact you guys haven't seen each other, and more specifically, they haven't seen how you play, and I think maybe their level of competition, because let's face it, the Can West, to win the Hardy Cup is a huge deal. It is probably the toughest conference to win. I mean, I'm saying that with biasness, being the voice of the Rams, but it is the toughest conference to win. So how much do you think that plays into your favor, being that you guys had to go through a tough road just to get here? And I think, you know, they're a great football team, but they've had a couple of cream puffs on their schedule. So how much do you think it favors you that they haven't really played somebody like you this year?
Yeah, you know, I don't think they've actually played anyone as physical as the Huskies. I think that's kind of our MO, is that, you know, we're going to come out and we're going to hit you in the mouth. And I don't think they have too many of that in the OUA. I think it's kind of a little bit softer out there. But you know what, they're a great team, and it's going to be a great game.
And you're going out there. Does this team travel well? Like, you guys are pretty locked down, pretty focused as a team leader. Do you make sure the guys are locked down and focused?
You know what? We've actually been on the road for the last, 5 weeks now. And I think as a whole, we've all been pretty dialed in.
You know, that's interesting. That's true. You've been on the road for 5 weeks. Is it a grind, or do you enjoy being on the road?
You know, I think we all would have wished we could have had that home playoff game before, but I think at this point, I don't think there's anything stopping us now. I mean, we're taking pride in the fact that we're on the road. We're still playing football.
Hey, man, how tough is it to juggle? Because we forget this. I cover professional football, too, and we just think, okay, they're on the road 5 weeks in a row. They're getting paid. That's their job. That's what they do. That's not your job. Your job's to go to school. You're a student athlete. You're there. Yeah, it's great to be a football player, but you got to keep your grades up. How tough is it to be a student athlete, especially when you're on the road for 5 straight weeks?
It's very tough, especially, you know, a couple of the older guys in their final years, especially myself, just – upper year of their degree, it's, you know, 300, 400 level classes, and you're trying to keep up with all this work, and you have to watch film, and then you have to go to class, and you have lab, and you have class again, and then you have practice. It's extremely tough and challenging, but I think it's the type of resilience that you need to build as, for your character as a football player.
Tyler Chow, what are you taking in school? What do you want to be once your football career is over?
Geology.
Geology. Cool. So yeah. you see, I say I'm a radio announcer. I know what I'm doing. In terms of geology, like, where would you branch out to do? Like, what do you hope to do?
You know what? I'm kind of just, I was hoping to go into oil and gas, but with everything going on, you know, maybe not. Maybe branch out into mining. Mm-hmm. You know, just wherever the road takes me. I mean, my whole family has been oil and gas. They born and raised in Calgary, so...
You think you'll end up back in Calgary eventually? And second of that, I guess, are you approaching this game and hopefully a Vanier Cup like they're your last two competitive football games? Is that the mindset you're going in with to these games?
Yeah, they definitely are. You know, with two games left in the regular season, actually, I'd sat down with Coach Flory and I said to him, you know, like, what went wrong with UBC? What did you feel happened? And I kind of expressed my thoughts that, you know, I'm only guaranteed two games left, you know. Let's kind of end this on a high note kind of deal. So, yeah, I mean, realistically, I only have two guaranteed games. Well, one guaranteed game.
Yeah. Does that make you sad?
It hasn't really sunk in yet. I try not to think about that. I'm just trying to play football right now.
Do you remember your first ever football game? And what age were you?
Oh, let's see. It would have been grade four. So I would have been what? 10 years old.
Yeah.
Do
you remember that game? Do you remember the first time you put on the helmet and played?
I can't say I do. I know my mom probably got videos and pictures kicking around somewhere, but
what got you into the game?
Just a couple buddies were playing. Said they were playing organized football, and I was like, "Yeah, man."
Yeah, that's awesome. Hey, let me ask you, I'm going to ask you two more questions and let you go because I know, God, you're busy this week. First question is this. Why do you love the game of football? What makes you, what makes you go through knee injuries and study and go to film and grind like this? Why do you love it?
It's a tough question. But you know what? I'm very passionate about this sport. I mean, I love showing up every day and just being able to play, and it's such a privilege to play this sport. I love just going out and being physical and doing what I can do. I mean, even my position just being a glorified version of tag, but, I love this sport.
Okay, and lastly, you kind of touched on it, but what do you got to do to beat the Western Mustangs and get to the Vanier Cup? What do you got to do here coming up this Saturday?
I've just got to be tough, physical pricks, to be honest. I mean, we gotta show up and beat them up. I think we kind of got to get them on their heels early and not stop.
I get you guys all confused, but I think my son came up for to watch you guys at practice one day there, and I think he came home and said Tyler Chow is a sweet stash. So do you still have that stash?
Yeah, it's still rocking it. gotta keep the lip warm in this weather.
is that your thing, or you're just keeping it around for November? Or you just like this thing?
You know what? Actually, someone actually brought it up. Coming up in 2 weeks will actually be the 2 year anniversary since I've shaved this thing. So actually, I shaved it the Vanier Cup 2 years ago of Laval versus Calgary. So,
well, maybe it's your good luck charm. I'll tell you what, he's the U of S Huskies version of Tom Selleck right here, Tyler Chow. Hey, good luck, man. I wish you the best of luck, and I hope for your sake you have two more games left, okay?
Awesome. Thank you.
Growing the Game with Ballsy rolls right along, brought to you by Real Estate Paul Waldo over at Royal LePage, the home expert team, and the Pizza Huts in Saskatchewan, joined by the head coach of the Regina Thunder, Scott McCauley. And Scott, we're in the off season now, but in the new age of football, there is no off season. You take off the head coaching hat and put on the recruiting hat, and you've had a pretty good week. Tell us about it.
Yeah, no, we've been communicating with a lot of the players here for the last year or so, and the fact that, unfortunately, our season ended a little bit earlier, we got a little bit of a quicker jump on it, and we're excited with the guys that are landing so far.
Yeah, and now let's talk about a few of those guys. First, Avery Wagner, a couple of Riffle guys. Avery Wagner coming out of Riffle.
Yeah, no, what? Avery Wagner's a he's a great athlete. He's a guy that we can put at a whole bunch of different positions. We're going to bring him on as a quarterback to begin with. We think he's got a real strong arm, and you know, he's been known as a guy that watches a lot of film and stuff too. So we'll bring him out as a quarterback. But as we progress forward and stuff, we definitely can move him to some other positions if we need to improve the team. He can play receiver. He definitely can play some DB as well. He plays with an edge. So we're excited to bring him out. He's a pure athlete, and there's a lot of excitement building around the fact that he signed with us early. And then also we have Justin Split that we signed out of Riffle. That's a linebacker. I got to tell you, like, when he's game on, he's probably the best linebacker we think in Regina. And he definitely lays the boom, and he's fast, he's tall, he's aggressive. So we're looking forward to that. And then tonight, you know, we're just going to announce here, too, that we just signed Ryan Mills out of Selby. And not a lot of people might not know who he is, but he's 6 foot two, he's 200 pounds. And, you know, he's just won a gold medal, too, with the Saskatchewan High School Athletic Association in track, where he was part of the quad group, and won a gold medal with them. And he actually had two records that he broke, and one was for the record for the overall quad, and the other one was for the shot put within the quad. So we're excited to bring on another quality athlete with him. And then we went to the south part of the city, and we just signed on Matt Shuchak, who is our quarterback this year. But he's such a big body and runs so well with the ball that, you know, he could easily be a running back for us, or maybe a tight end, or maybe we can move him to the defensive side of the ball and he becomes a linebacker or a defensive lineman. So we're happy with that. And then the last guy that we signed here as well is so far is Ethan Endicott, and he's an offensive lineman out of Campbell. And he might not be the tallest guy in the world, but he's super aggressive and strong and fully committed to the weight room. So I think he'll fit well with our culture.
Scott McCauley joining us here with the Regina Thunder. So where did you, what areas have you identified where, you know, we know what team you're chasing, the Saskatoon Hilltops, who are playing in another national championship. What areas do you have to get better in to knock these guys off?
You know, like, well, we definitely need to look at offensive line because we, you know, we were able to graduate four guys in their fifth year at the offensive line position. So we need to make sure we take care of that for the future. But other than that, like, we're looking for, you know, a couple of running backs that we're able to, you know, ground and pound. And then also we want to find some taller defensive backs that we can use. And because the Hilltops tend to have a lot of taller receivers, so we want to make sure that we bring a little bit more height to our defensive backfield.
Scott, what's your selling point when you get him to come to the Thunder? I mean, a couple guys you mentioned, Justice Split, Avery Wagner. I don't know if they're big school guys, but that doesn't mean if you go to the Thunder, you can't be a school guy. I think that's kind of one of the misconceptions, that if you play junior football, you're not really a school guy. Well, that's not the truth, is it?
Yeah, like basically when you graduate from high school, you got 7 years to play 5 years of youth sports. So there's no reason why guys can't come here for 2 years and then go play 5 years or be with us for 4 years and play 3 years at the youth sport level. And the other thing, too, that a lot of people don't understand is that we also have scholarships. And we have about 33 guys right now that are attending the University of Regina. We have another 20 or so that are with South Polytech. And then we have other guys that are right now that are working towards their certificates and doing their apprenticeship with different companies in Regina. So there's a whole bunch of different avenues we can go through. And our selling point is that you don't have to make that big decision of what school you want to be at right now. You can go and take your basic classes and down the road, like when you feel like it's time to move on, then you can. And also our other selling point is just coaching, right? Mm-hmm. I think we've got some guys that work hard and they know the game well, and we're able to educate these players and help them become better football players just by learning the game.
Sometimes it's better to get game snaps too than just kind of be on a taxi squad at the university level, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we got a lot of great players too. It doesn't mean that guys come out of high school are going to play, but, you know, like last year we had you know, three guys in their first year at the receiver position, like Deshaun Lejeune, that started for us. Right. Ravin Sokol started for us. Ethan Douglas was a two-time player of the week with special teams that started for us at the receiver spot. You know, we also had Finn Market-Cribb, who was a receiver that we moved to the defensive backfield and ended up having a great season there as well. So we're not afraid to play our first-year players. And our motto is basically is that the best players are going to play, and we're going to let them compete in practice, and we're going to see how it goes.
How about your coaching staff? Do you plan to keep it intact the way it was last year?
You know, like, we like to keep everybody intact, but the bottom line in junior football, like, we got some guys that are living out of town and they're getting up at 6 in the morning and going to work or to be at work by 7 o'clock, and they're working until 4 o'clock. And then, you know, they're sitting around Regina until 6 o'clock when we start our film with the players. Yeah. So it ends up being like some long days, and some of those guys, you know, like they got young families that they're starting. So, you know, some decisions are going to have to be made on their part, and also on our part, you know, going to make sure that we still have a good, solid coaching staff, and our guys are getting quality coaching. They're also, the staff is gelling together as one.
What keeps you going? Because you got a young family at home. Your wife's a business professional. So you of course have your day job, being a salesman. So what keeps you going?
Good question. I guess I'm not all there, but really, it's just the love of the game. I love football. I love competing, and I also believe in what the Regina Thunder provides. You know, I think there was a real void when the Rams left the junior ranks and went to university. Like, not everybody's going to go to university right off the bat. And Saskatchewan has a lot of great football players come out of high school, so we want to provide them an opportunity to, you know, be a part of something special. And also, you know, when guys are growing up between the ages of 18 and 22, like, it's some major life decisions have to happen. I think that we have a great opportunity to help mold them and go in the right direction and mentor them a little bit. So there's a whole bunch of different things that kind of I draw energy off. But I think most importantly, I love the game of football, and I love coaching. I like getting out there and doing the X's and O's and working with those different skill sets.
Okay, here's your platform, my friend. You're sitting in my living room right now trying to get my son to play for your team. What's your message? What does it mean to be a Regina Thunder player?
Well, we're looking for guys that want a ball. I mean, like, guys are not getting paid to come here. There's not a scholarship on the line where they get a full ride. You know, we're looking for guys that absolutely love the game and want to come on and keep on playing, right? So if they want to grow as a player and develop in their skill sets and their athleticism and also their strength and their football knowledge, and then have opportunities to move on to the next level, like, we'll come here for a while, right? And let's have some fun and just ball out and go from there.
Let's not downplay some of the guys that have gone through there. Paul Waldo's gone through that program. Chris Getzlaff's gone through that program. Dan Clark's gone through that program. Zach Evans has gone through that program. I mean, you can make the Canadian Football League this route too.
Absolutely. Like, we have a direct relationship with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, and you know, Chris Jones has been really good to our program, where they'll definitely take a look at all our guys. Our guys will have opportunities to practice with the pros as well. He will put them on the PR and bring them out and let them compete, so it takes their game to the next level. And also the other thing, too, is that we've had guys that come here and, you know, maybe they just have an opportunity to play ball longer, right?
Yeah.
So if you got 7 years, you might as well maximize it. And guys will come play here for 3-4 years and get bigger, faster, stronger, then maybe they'll go to the youth sports level and finish off their degrees, and then still have that opportunity to go through the draft as well.
Scott McAuley, head coach of the Regina Thunder, joining us here on Growing the Game with Ballsy. Thanks for this, Scott.
All right, appreciate it.
And this is Growing the Game with Ballsy, brought to you by the Pizza Huts in Saskatchewan, also brought to you by Wheel Estate. Check them out online at wheelestate.ca, and by Paul Waldo over at Royal LePage, the home expert team. Give him a call, 306-502-5355. I'm joined on the phone now by Cody Peters, a fifth-year linebacker with the Saskatoon Hilltops, and they are competing against Langley this coming weekend in Saskatoon for the Canadian Bowl. Cody, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so you've won 4 championships, the drive for 5. Does this winning get boring to you, man?
No, it's exciting. Gives us more motivation to just keep on going out there and trying to get the W.
Yeah, no, for you, it's got to be, how many, off the top of your head, how many fifth-year guys in your team? Do you know that off the top of your head?
I think there's 7 or 8.
7 or 8. So for you fifth-year guys, and including you, Cody Peters, you know, how important is for you to run the table? That's pretty cool. Your entire career, you'll have been a champion.
I think it's pretty remarkable, because no other team has ever been in this position or, like, accomplished something like this.
Through your eyes, Cody Peters, how have you guys been able to do this year after year?
I feel it's because a lot of our guys like to stick with the program, so we stay really close knitted, and we just get super close, and it's almost like a family. So we just, like, have good chemistry on the field.
How important is it that Tom Sargent preaches that, you know, we got to really uphold this team for our fifth year guys? Like, it seems like he really highlights you guys in your fifth year. Do you feel that, and how important is that to you?
I feel it's good. It gives the guys someone to play for more than just themselves, and I feel that's big impact on the team.
What does it mean to you to be a Hilltop? Like, if you were to describe to somebody like me what it means to be a Hilltop, what would you say it means to be a Hilltop?
I feel as being a Hilltop, we're almost as like a role model for the younger kids in like Saskatchewan growing up, for them to like see what like can happen with football and what they can do if they work hard enough for it.
Now, you're up for top defensive player of the year. Tell us about your year. How's it gone so far personally?
I felt like it's been going like pretty good so far, but I wouldn't be in the position I am without the teammates I'm playing with.
So you've won four championships already. You know what it's like to taste team success. Is this the first time you've been up for defensive player of the year?
Yeah, this is my first time.
Okay, so if you had your choice, I think I know the answer, but if you had your choice, would you trade the championship in to win this trophy, your own personal trophy, or you let somebody else win the personal trophy so you can win the championship?
Let someone else win the personal trophy so we can get that fifth championship.
So what has gone well for you this year? Why have you been in a position to be top defensive player of the year, up for the honor? I know you said that it's your teammates that help you, and I get that. But what have you done well yourself, do you think, this year?
I feel I've just done my job. I've just been in the right spots, and sometimes you luck in a place just by doing your job.
Okay, so people listening to this podcast, Growing the Game with Ballsy, it's Cody Peters from the Saskatoon Hilltops. If you know, we haven't watched you play. I haven't watched you play personally. Describe your game to me. How big are you, and what's your style of play?
I'm about 5'11", about 210 pounds, and I play Will linebacker, and I feel like I'm a hard hitter. I'm pretty quick on the field, and I really pretty good at stopping the run.
So you've just described Adam Big Hill. When I think Adam Big Hill, I'm thinking Cody Peters. Would you agree with that?
Adam Big Hill, I'm not familiar with
from the
name.
From the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, Adam Big Hill. He was with the New Orleans Saints. Google him. You'll know what I'm talking about. So that leads me to my next question. Young man, are you more an NFL guy than a CFL guy, obviously, or do you watch football?
I watch quite a bit more NFL than CFL. Like, I'll throw in the Rider game if they're playing, but yeah, Definitely more NFL guy.
Who's your favorite Rider to watch? Do you have a favorite Rider?
A favorite Rider? That's hard to say.
Not off the top of your head?
Not off the top of my head, no.
How about NFL guy?
NFL. I'm a big Patriots fan, so I love watching Brady go and sling the ball around.
Yeah, you like Brady. How about any defensive guys? Like, when you got into football, have you always been a linebacker in football?
Yeah, I've always been a linebacker.
So what got you into football, and how long have you been playing for, Cody?
I've been playing since I was probably in eighth grade, doing Kinsmen and all that. So Since eighth grade, I've been playing football. And I think what really got me into it was just playing football at recess at school with all my friends.
Yeah. Who did you look up to, though? Like, you're watching, did you look up to anybody locally, like a brother or relative or coach that really kind of spurred you on locally?
No, personally, it was just personal interest with all my friends, because I had a bunch of friends that were playing football, and they sort of got me into it.
Okay, and before we touch on that a little more, is there anybody, like, in the NFL you try to emulate your game after? Obviously, it wouldn't be Tom Brady. He's a quarterback. Is there any linebacker, like a Luke Kuechly or somebody, like, watching?
I was going to say Luke Kuechly is probably the one who I'd, like, try to represent the most. He's just, like, a smart football player, well aware of what's going on. He's just a standout player.
Awesome. Okay, and so what's your favorite aspect of football? Why do you like playing football?
I like the competitiveness of it, going there and just trying to compete and just try to better yourself and just the competition against other guys in front of you.
How about, you mentened friendship. How about in the locker room? Is that one of your favorite things to do, just hang out with the guys in the locker room?
Yeah, and honestly, it makes, like, some days when you're banged up or you're tired or you're just in a bad mood, coming into the clubhouse and just seeing all the guys you've been playing with for the past 5 years just makes it that much more easier because we're just that close.
To the victors go the spoils, they like to say, and you guys have a nice facility there. I'm sure it's changed over the 5 years you've been there. So what's it like to play at the SMS field right now and to have the facilities you guys do fit for champions?
Let me tell you, it's never been this nice, and it's been a lot of work for them.
Yeah.
But it's beautiful now. Like, it's gorgeous to go there and be able to play on that field and to represent Saskatoon like that.
Do you have any aspirations after junior football, Cody Peters?
Right now, I'm thinking about playing CIS football and eventually, hopefully, make it to the CFL.
Yeah.
That's like always the dream goal.
What would you like to do in school if you know going to obviously going to youth sports? You got to go to school, so you thought about what you'd like to take and do something. Because I always like to say football is not a plan; it's a dream. So that's a great dream. But what would you like to do in life?
Personally, I want to become a paramedic and eventually a firefighter down the road.
Outstanding. Okay, so are you a local kid? Like, are you a Saskatoon kid, Cody?
Yeah.
So if you were to go youth sports, would you look to maybe the Huskies?
I'd like to, because it's close and it's home.
And because look what they're doing now, knocking off the Dinos. How much does a win like that, the Huskies winning like that, how much does that, sways recruits to say, maybe they got something going on there with Scott Flory?
For recruiting, I think it's good for them, but I think it's harder for Hilltops.
Yeah.
Personally, because right now with what they have is like, so why would they want to sort of like get away from the plan they're going with right now?
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so if you, in order to win this game on Saturday, what do you got to do to beat Langley?
We have to come out, be physical, stick together as a team, and stay level-headed. Don't get too high and don't get too low.
Yeah, okay, now I got to ask you this. Of the championships to this point, and take this one out, okay? I'm assuming you're going to win. The fifth one's done, okay? Let's go on the let's go on the premise you won the fifth one, okay? You've won the fifth one. I'm talking to you now Saturday night. You've won the fifth one. Which one is the best? Which of the trophies is the best? Or maybe which of the trophies have been the best so far?
I would say probably my second year, because it was back in Saskatoon. And that was the first time I actually had sort of an impact on the field. I actually got to play. I was starting it a little bit.
Okay.
So it was just crazy to see, because the stands are packed. There's tons of people there. It was just a good environment.
So what's your game day ritual going to be like this week, when you know you're going to have lots of friends and family, the stands will be packed, and it's your last ever game in junior football for all the chips on the table to be a champion all the way through from pillar to post? What's your game day ritual going to be like? Are you going to sleep much the night before?
Yeah, usually I try to get a good sleep and then just wake up, have some breakfast, and then head over to the field.
What's breakfast? Tell me some breakfast. What does mom make you?
If she is making it, it's probably going to be like eggs and toast or something like that.
Okay, and what's on your phone listening to music? You're putting the beats on, you're at the stadium. What are you listening to? What's on, if I grabbed your phone for your music selection, what am I calling up the first song?
First song is either going to be some Eminem or Jeezy probably.
You know, you kids, you don't like rock and roll. My son's all Drake, too. I try to get him into good old rock and roll. You don't listen to... I'm a rock and roll guy. You don't listen to no rock and roll?
No, only if my dad's playing some.
Oh, your dad. What's your dad like to play? What's he like listening to?
He likes Kiss and Metallica.
Oh, you don't like Metallica?
It's okay. It's not personally for me.
Jeez, you young whippersnappers. Okay, man. Well, good luck, Cody, not only winning the championship, but hopefully you win the Defensive Player of the Year. I really appreciate you stopping by, and I feel hopefully some of your championship, I don't know, aura rubs off on me, because I need a little bit of that, okay?
Okay, thank you. Thank you for having me.
And just before I wrap up things here on Growing the Game with Ballsy, we mentioned Miller and Bishop Mahoney winning provincial high school football championships. But we got to mention this too, the 1A six-man football championship, Hafford defeats Hanley. The 2A six-man football championship, Clavette downs Waka. 2A nine-man football, Delisle defeats Indian Head. And 3A nine-man football, Lumsden gets by Humboldt. Of course, the Humboldt team had an interesting season. Of course, we know that Tyler Bieber, who is the voice of the Humboldt Broncos, died in that bus accident in April. He was a receivers coach for that team. They also had Brody Hintz, who was the stats man for the hockey team. He died in that bus accident, and he was also a member of the Humboldt football team. And Morgan Gable, who is also a football player on the Humboldt team, was on the bus as a hockey player, and he is still in Saskatoon Hospital. So our thoughts are still with him, and our thoughts are with the Humboldt football team. They did a great job this season overcoming adversity and getting to the 3A nine-man football championship. Well, talking Western final, Eastern final, as it sits here, about 3 weeks ago, I predicted Winnipeg and Hamilton in the Grey Cup in Edmonton. I kind of deviated last week. I thought Wally and his gang would come through, but they got smoked. So I'm staying with Hamilton. Hamilton to defeat Ottawa in the East final as June Jones and Jerry Glanville get to the Grey Cup, and they will take on the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. I think the Bombers have a great offensive line. They got a great running back. They got a serviceable quarterback. and some good receivers. I'd love to see our old friend Weston Dressler win a championship if, of course, the Saskatchewan Roughriders can't. If you have a story idea you want me to pursue, please email me mball@harvardbroadcasting.com. If you want to sponsor this show, you can also pursue me at mball@harvardbroadcasting.com. Next week, we're going to talk a little bit more about some amateur football, including what's going on out in Yorkton, because they had a great season all the way around, including female football in the Yorkton area. Until next time, we'll talk to you later.